we are met to call from out of the past stories strange and weird.
Tales of mystery and terror by radio's masters of the macabre.
Stories of the supernatural, the supernormal, dramatized by fact and mystery, the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these madmen, play, we urge you calmly, seriously, to turn off your radio now.
Welcome back to the horror. We're going to hear from The Witch's Tale this time. A series that aired over mutual stations from 1931 to 1938, produced over 300 episodes. Our story today is from July 11th, 1932. It's titled The Entomologist.
We bring you The Witch's Tale, written and produced by Alonzo Dean Cole. Now let us join old Nancy and Satan, her wise black cat.
Hannah, I'm 23-year-old, I think today. Yes, sir. Hannah, I'm 23-year-old. Satan. Yeah. Tell folks to dust out them lights, don't we have it nice and dark?
Yeah.
That's it. Draw up the fire and gaze into embers. Gaze into them deep, and soon you'll be upon a ship that's bound for Africa. Africa, aboard that ship begins our yarn about a man who studies insects, our yarn of the entomologist. The entomologist.
Lord, I've never known you to acquire such a sudden dislike for anyone before. Yet only a few days ago, when you learned Dr. Sternock was on this boat, you were hardly waiting till you were possessed.
I know. He's probably the greatest entomologist in the world. It's an honor for a mere journeyman bug hunter like myself to have him even say good morning when he passes, but Edith, the man gives me the shivers. That body of his that seems all arms and legs and the black whiskers, he reminds me of some tremendous spider.
Maybe that's what happens to men who study insects. They grow to look like them. My goodness, Roy. When you reach his age, you may resemble a... What is the bug you specialize on?
My future's safe. I go in for butterflies.
Then how attractive you'll be at 50. If a little flighty. Oh, but seriously, I think your prejudice concerning Dr. Sternoff is absurd. I rather like him.
You should.
Why shouldn't I? His offer to escort me to Rogers Plantation from Cape Town places me rather deeply in his debt.
You cabled your brother not to meet you, but you were going to make the trip with Dr. Sternoff?
Yes. It'll save Roger a typical journey from what he's written me of the traveling facilities in his part of Africa. And as Dr. Sternoff's own headquarters is so close to the plantation, it becomes a natural neighborly arrangement.
Edith, will you let me take you to your brother's place when we reach Cape Town?
Why, boy, you're going to Natal, you said. Roger is in the Maryland.
Well, I can study insect life there as well as in Natal, and I'd like to meet your brother, and... Well, you know the real reason.
Oh.
The same reason that I followed you aboard this boat, that I followed you everywhere during the last 2 years. I'm mad about you, Edith. Turned me down so many times, I'm not going to ask you to marry me again now, but I'm not going to let you go traipsing around Africa with anyone like Sternoff.
Oh, are you jealous of a man's twice your age?
No, I'm not, but I don't like the way he looks at you. I'm not going to have you alone with him. I'm going to take you to Tomorrowland myself.
Oh, Rossick. Eventually, I suppose I'll have to marry you. Apparently, I can't lose you.
You only would marry me, but I'm not going to ask you again. It seems so useless.
You never tried asking me under such romantic conditions as this. Sorry night, the deck of a ship, wild waves singing. Real world, the surrounding of ideas.
Stop making fun of me.
Well, if you won't propose, I can't make you.
I'm tired of hearing you say no.
I'm tired of saying no.
Huh? Edith, will you marry me?
Yes.
What? What?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my. Edith, you really mean it.
I do.
Edith.
But I'll change my mind and let you quit staring and kiss me within the next half second.
Oh, Edith. Oh, darling. Oh, sweetheart.
Good evening.
Doctor.
It seems that I intrude at an unwelcome moment. Excuse me.
Oh, wait, Doctor. For the sake of retaining your good opinion, let me explain that I don't make it a habit to let men kiss me, unless my hair.
Dr. Sternoff, Miss Gardner has just honored me by promising
that... Don't be tilted, Roy. I've just decided, Doctor, that Mr. Bolton will make me a fairly good husband. So we've just become engaged.
Mr. Bolton is to be congratulated. I envy him greatly.
Thank you.
Now, since you'll have Dr. Sternoff, the doctor, I'm going to leave you, Roy, and go there.
Oh, Edith.
I'm tired. With the prospect of matrimony staring her in the face, a girl needs solitude and rest.
Well, I'll take you to your stateroom.
No, I want to be rid of you now. See you in the morning. Good night.
Good night, Miss Gardner.
Good night, Edith.
A very fine girl, your fiancée.
Very. Think I'll go to my cabin, too. Good night, Doctor.
Do not hurry away, Mr. Bolton. Suppose we talk a while. When do you and Miss Gardner plan to be married?
We haven't discussed that yet.
You will take time, I hope. Affairs of such importance should not be rushed into. Perhaps you will wait until after you conclude your studies in Natal.
I've decided not to go to Natal. I'm taking Miss Gardner to her brother.
Mm, that is a pleasure I had looked forward to.
Since we shall all be going to the same part of the country, I suppose there's no reason why we shouldn't all take the trip together.
No, except that I had counted on Miss Gardner's company alone.
Sorry to have disarranged your plans.
It is unfortunate that you have. I do not like my plans disarranged.
I don't like your tone, Doctor. Just what do you mean?
Suppose I hear your views on my probable meaning.
All right, I'll give them to you. If you think I haven't noticed the way you followed Miss Gardner around ever since we came aboard this ship, you're crazy. And I don't like the way you keep looking at her. As though she was some specimen you were tracking down. I don't like anything about you, Doctor, since you've asked for it. And I want you to keep away from my future wife.
You are so candid, I shall be equally so. I enjoy the society of your future wife. And as the future is such an unknown quantity, I do not intend to keep away. Also, as an entomologist yourself, you must have heard that I seldom track down a specimen in vain.
Why, you think...
I think your engagement to Miss Gardner is a mistake. One that may be rectified before marriage. Before you leave the ship. Good night. Mr. Bolton.
Oh, I wish I could have heard such a ridiculous quarrel. You must have sounded like four boys with chips on your shoulders.
Well, that's the reason I never told you about it until tonight. It was so utterly ridiculous. But it confirmed my suspicion that Sternoff is nearly as mad about you as I am.
You don't know how flattered I feel. Two mad lovers on one small ship.
I don't believe you feel flattered at all. There's something too inhuman about that man for you to really want his attention. All you enjoy is my jealousy.
He's very strange. A little insane, aren't he? You know, he's literally obsessed with a desire for power. Rather peculiar in a naturalist who's devoted his life to the study of tiny insects.
Hmm. Those tiny insects, if uncontrolled by man and not destroyed by their own warring proclivities, could annihilate all other living creatures. They are power, undirected.
He made a remark something like that. Said that someday a genius would develop a new species that would enable him to rule the world.
By genius, he meant himself, of course.
Oh, God. It is still so ridiculously bitter toward the poor man. You say he threatened you that night?
Oh, he didn't threaten exactly. Simply said our engagement was a mistake that might be rectified before I left this ship.
Rectified by what?
By his personal magnetism, baby. By proving to you that his charm so outshone mine that you'd give me back the ring I haven't bought you yet. Take his.
Well, if that was his purpose, he's evidently forgotten it. I've scarcely seen him since that night. And tomorrow we land at Cape Town. Which reminds me that packing suit.
Oh, don't go in yet.
Oh, I must. There's so many things to get together. Not anyway.
I'll take you to your door, then. Let's get married in Cape Town tomorrow, dear.
Oh, now, don't start rushing me again. Roger's the only relative I possess, and I'm not going to marry you without his brotherly blessing. Here we are. Good night, dear. Roger, I'll let me go before someone comes to the corner.
Good night, dear.
Looks so romantically sad at our parting here one more thing. Good night.
Good night.
Good evening, Mr. Polk.
Huh? Oh.
I seem to come upon you always at the conclusion of a romantic moment.
You seem always to be watching for such moments, Dr. Stenoff.
On the contrary, they're very painful to me. I would prefer not to witness them. But let us not quarrel again. Our ship lands tomorrow. Let us simply say goodbye.
There'll be time for that when we dock in the morning.
One never knows in the rush of departure. We may not meet.
Well, when Miss Gardner and I reach her brother's place, we'll be neighbors. Farewell seemed rather superfluous, Doctor.
I live but 10 miles from Miss Gardner's brother. You. Goodbye. Goodbye, Mr. Bolton. Goodbye.
Hello, Mr. Berlin.
Head of
the
aside room. Oh, hello, Stuart. Yes, going to bed.
Just saw you talking to the gentleman with the whiskers. Something important you wanted to see before I haunted. Been hanging around this corridor whole evening.
Waiting for me?
We didn't try, but if he belongs over in Section A, I imagine he was waiting for someone, and he went away after talking to you.
He wasn't hanging around Miss Gardner's door, was he?
Oh, no, sir. He wasn't hanging around any place special. Just up and down the hall, yeah. Wasn't he waiting for you, sir?
Oh, I don't know. It doesn't matter.
No, sir. Well, here we are to your door. Good night, sir.
Good night, Stuart. Oh, wait. We'll be parting tomorrow. I may as well have your tip off of mine now. Here. Thank you for your very excellent service.
Oh, thank you, sir. Here, don't bother looking for your key. I'll unlock your door, sir.
Thanks.
Here now, just a minute. Here. Now I'll turn on the light.
Well, it's a good thing I came in. The light's done well.
It's all right when I left this evening.
Probably a few of them have. You just wait outside, sir. I'll let it
be
directed.
Oh. Now,
the door slammed
shut. I'll open it, Stuart.
Yes, please, sir. I'll close the seventh
room. Spring latch is snapped. Where till I find my key? Yes. Stuart, my key doesn't work.
It does?
Oh, that's funny.
Well, don't bother, sir. I'll help you from inside here. That is funny. I can't turn the
bed. What's happened to this lock? Worked all right when you opened it a moment ago. Stuart! What's wrong? Stuart! Help! Help me, someone!
What is it?
No, Stuart, locked inside my cabin. He just screamed. Here, help me break down this door.
Here, I will, you?
Here, together with our shoulders. Now! Now, get in. That's it.
Stuart! Stuart, where are you? Oh, who has a blessing?
Here's one.
Here he is, on the floor. Throat has been torn up. Oh. He's dead. Who? What killed him? There's nothing. There's no one in this room.
What do you think killed the steward, Satan?
That's right. But then there's even none of
understand what Satan said. We'll have to come see us next time I have a birthday. And then we'll sing you the rest of our yarn about the entomologist. The entomologist.
The Witch's Tale, written and produced by Alonzo Dean Cole. Join old Nancy and Satan, her wise black cat.
Hannah and 9 year old I be today. Yes, sir. Hannah and 9 year old. Now douse out them lights and we go on with that perfect story we began last time you were here. Why we leave off, Satan? Oh, yes, yes. We told how them two scientists who studied insects were both in love with the same girl, and how she naturally preferred the youngest and best looking, which made the other fella kind of mad. Well, sir, they was all aboard a ship bound for Africa, and on the night before they landed, a steward on the boat went into the young fella's cabin just ahead of him, and was very mysteriously sick. Now draw up to the fire and gaze into embers. Gaze into them deep, and soon we'll be in an African jungle. For that's why we picked up our story now. And soon you'll hear more about the entomologist. The entomologist!
No question in my mind, Roger, that whatever killed the steward in my cabin was intended to kill me. The door that made him prisoner didn't slam by chance. A spring had been attached to it. The lock had been tampered with. If he hadn't gone in there ahead of me by the sheer accident...
But what killed the steward?
No one knows. That's Dr. Sternoff, I think. But he was with the captain at the time it happened, so had a perfect alibi.
You say there was no way for anyone to get out of the cabin except through the single door?
No, and nothing came out that way. One of the portholes was open, but no man or animal could have escaped to it. Unless they could scale smooth horizontal walls like a fly that had to drop into the sea.
The steward's throat was torn.
No, it wasn't torn, exactly. It was as though something had bitten him there. Something poisonous, for it killed instantly. And the wound was frightfully inflamed. Yet if the bite was made by an animal, it was one of an entirely unknown species.
I've seen two such wounds as you described.
You have?
Yes. I didn't want to talk any more about this before either. That's why I suggest we walk out of here in the bush tonight. He's upset enough about the whole thing as it is.
He refuses to believe that Dr. Sternoff had anything to do with it. Why, she'd have made this trip up here with his party if I hadn't absolutely insisted we come by ourselves.
I don't share my sister's trust of Sternoff.
You say you've seen two similar wounds. Is that which killed the steward?
Yes, on black boys in the vicinity of Sternoff's place. Only whatever bit them was not frightened away as easily and as soon as your steward's case. But when found, every drop of blood had been drained from their dead bodies.
What on earth?
The natives ascribed the death to vampires.
That's ridiculous.
Nothing is ridiculous in Africa. The blacks say Sternoff set the vampires on the men.
They call him the devil doctor around here.
I'll be glad for Edith and I are married tomorrow and on our way to Natal. I don't want her even in the same province with that man.
I'll hate to see you go so soon after your arrival here, but, well, I'll feel a little easier myself. Well, here we are back at the house.
The lights are all out. Edith must have gone to bed.
We've been talking back there in the bush a long time. It's late, but someone's still up around the place. There's my houseboy.
Effendi!
He must have something on his mind to make him run like that.
Effendi Garner, you are well of your sickness?
Sickness?
Yeah, you sat back before your lady sister find you.
What are you talking about? Where is my sister?
Gardner isn't here.
No, then come say Effendi Garner sick, hurt in bush. She go look easy.
How long ago?
Half hour, maybe.
Roger, where do you suppose? Who was the man who came here for my sister?
Black boy come from Devil Doctor house.
Stunner! Come to the house and get our guns, and we'll find out what this is all about.
If he laid his filthy hands on Edith, I'll...
Take your shirt on. He wouldn't dare do anything to her. What? But the door's locked. My sister lost it, Nebu.
I know, see.
Then never mind. Burst it open. Come, let me get a gun and start for...
there it goes.
Strike a light, Nebu.
Never mind. I can find the guns in the dark.
Oh.
What's the matter?
It rushed across my face. Felt like a sticky, silken cord.
There's something in this room, Effendi. Something moving.
Yes, I hear it.
Get those guns. It's an animal of some kind.
I have my rifle. A light, Nebu, a light.
Yes, me do.
God, look! Shoot!
Shoot! Hurry! It's running away!
Oh, I got it this time.
God, look at it! That's what got the steward. Your black here. It was put in this house tonight to kill us.
But no such monster can exist. It's impossible.
It did exist. There's its dead body. A giant spider, 2 feet long.
Easy now. Turner's house lies right back of that high fence.
You don't think any of those spiders are loose out there?
I hope not. God, where did such a monster come from?
I think Sternoff made it.
Made it?
Yes. The man is a scientific genius. I believe he's found a way to increase the size of a small, ordinary spider. I remember a paper he published some years ago hinting at the possibility of such a thing. That cord was thrust across my face with a strand of its web.
You hadn't felt that?
We just stumbled right into it. Then.
Don't speak of it.
Now I know why the black found dead here and drained of blood. He thought this little spider is too small to assimilate solid food. So he sucks the juices of his blood.
I'd rather believe the native vampire theory.
I'm more pleasant than that. Sternoff, the monster who turned loose that thing, has Edith in that house.
You'll find her safe. He only wants to be rid of us.
In love with her.
The gate's unlocked. Quiet now. He thinks we're dead. We get him unaware.
He should get the drop on us before. Mm-hmm.
But if he does, Nebu has reached Sumed by this time, and he's on his way here now to Constabulary.
Sure you can trust Nebu?
Absolutely, where harm is promised Dr. Sternoff. One of the blacks that spider killed was Nebu's brother.
Come on, hurry. I want to get my hands on Sternoff.
He won't escape. He hasn't got a chance.
I have their guns. Find their arms.
Go!
It's useless to struggle, gentlemen. My black boys were selected for their strength.
They are bound to send me.
You see, gentlemen, it is you who have no chance.
You're not going to get away with this.
I must contradict you. You've been very lucky twice, Mr. Bolton, but no luck holds good forever.
Look here, Stanoff. You'd better turn my sister over to us and let us go while you have the opportunity to save your life. In half an hour, the Sumed constabulary will be here. They'll tear you to pieces if you harmed us.
I anticipate no trouble from Sumed. You see, I have here another prisoner besides yourself and Edith.
Nebu!
Nebu!
This is Nebu on his head, Effendi.
Come on!
My boys brought the faithful servant down almost directly he left your house. Now, Mr. Bolton, I intend to prove that your engagement to Miss Gardner was a mistake. A mistake that shall be rectified tonight forever. Take these white men to my laboratory.
Yes,
as a student of insect life, Mr. Bolton, you will appreciate the specimens I am about to show you, whom you will meet intimately.
No, that's
spiders, gentlemen. Giant spiders. Monster insects that will make me master of the world. Look at them in their cages behind these bars. Spiders. I made them giant. Look at them. Hairy, eight-legged monsters whose poison pulses will kill an elephant. Harmless in their cages now, but soon they'll be swarming about you in this room.
Oh, you can't.
You won't.
But I can. I shall. This lever here opens every cage at once. I shall press it just as I myself go out this door to safety. Albu! Nazi! Cut the rope which bind the white man's hand.
Yes, Sir
Benji. I wish your body free. Through the glass panel of this door, it will be a better show to see you try to bite my baby.
What a rotten beast you are.
And he has Edith in this filthy house. Edith is upstairs, quite safe and ignorant of your presence here. She will be ignorant of how you die. She is very fortunate to be chosen for my mate. As I shall be the master, she will be mistress of the world which I will rule by giant insects who are power.
You're mad. Even a madman can't go through with him.
Excuse me, boy. We haven't got a chance. Turn up. If you were single strain of decency in your pockets before you turn those things upon us, give us a drink.
A drink?
Yes, whiskey. Bob, we've got to have something to nerve us before you open those cages.
Oh, don't ask that swine for anything, Roger. Let him pull his lever and get it over.
No. I can't bear to think of those spiders coming at us. I'll go crazy, Sternoff. So I won't know what's happening. I'll teach you out of your show. Whiskey, Sternoff, whiskey. The least you could do is grant me that.
The brother of my future mate is a streak of yellow. Bring them whiskey.
Yes, it is. Not for me. I want nothing from you.
Whiskey for me. Whiskey for God's sake.
Give it to him.
Here, Lassendi.
Thanks.
Get out, you black, so you won't see a white man whine.
He goes, and then
he's going to be evil. Rafi has insecure attack.
Evil cannot get away, Lassendi.
Get out, both of you.
White man now on bound. Maybe danger you, Lassendi.
I have a pistol in my hand, haven't I? If I am to notify anything, get up and close that door.
Yes, Lassendi.
And kiss you to my shoulder, dark. Drink your whiskey, you yellow dog.
Yes, a drink. Whiskey. For you,
sir. No,
goes to Africa after hearing this Percy yarn, he'll take along a can of insect powder.
Thank you.
That's the story for today. I hope that one didn't sound too rough. It's crackly in spots, to say the least. If you want to hear more from The Witch's Tale, you can find them at relicradio.com, alongside all the other podcasts and links to everything else Relic Radio. There's also a donate button there if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Thank you very much to those who have donated. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again soon with another episode of The Horror. The Horror is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.